You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking, or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great, but it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going, whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby. Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
I'm Claire Fallon.
And I'm Emma Gray.
We are friends and reality dating show fans, and the only thing we love as much as love stories is lovingly snarking on them.
Whether you love love or love to hate it, listen to Love to See It, our podcast dissecting all the romance we see on screen.
From reality dating shows like The Bachelor and Love is Blind to classic rom-coms like You've Got Mail, we recap in obsessive detail and unpack all the weird messages they send us about love, sex, and dating.
Listen to Love to See It on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Big headline in the Athletic today. Mo Vaughn, fearsome slugger, named in Mitchell Report, admits using HGH. It's an exclusive. I think it was Ken Rosenthal who wrote this. But Mo Vaughn forever had been linked to the Mitchell Report. Never confirmed, never said yes. But now he's come out and said, yes, I was using HGH when the Mitchell Report came out in 2007. Brett, we need to figure out how we're going to evaluate, talk about, and understand that time in baseball. You played in that time in baseball, and we've got so many stars. Yesterday I was talking with somebody who's going to start listening to the podcast, former college baseball player, and I was wearing a San Francisco Giants hat, and he kind of looks at my cap and points at it. He goes, Barry Bonds should be in the Hall of Fame. Roger Clemens, because we were talking about the podcast,
right,
should be in the Hall of Fame. We had Roger on the show. We'd like to get Barry on the show. How are we going to now, all these years later, we're 25 years later, 20 years later from that steroid era in baseball, how do we start to square that up with their rightful place in the game and using the context of how baseball was at that time versus how baseball is right now?
Well, you know, it's obviously a hot topic. I mean, arguably top five greatest pitchers of all time sitting there with seven Cy Youngs, not in the Hall of Fame for an HGH supposed incident. I don't think he ever tested positive. Barry Bonds still to this has never tested positive. All-time home run leader, greatest hitter I've ever seen. But, and we've talked about this a lot. It's like that generation, you can't walk around as a writer, as somebody that has a vote, and decide who did and who didn't use PEDs. Now, I completely understand Manny Ramirez.
Okay.
Actually came up positive on a test twice.
He did when he was with the Tampa Bay Rays. I covered him. I worked for the ball club at that time.
Now, if you're a voter and a man, and Manny Ramirez, one of the greatest hitters I've ever seen, came up twice, I understand your logic, why you would not vote. I get that. But it's a dangerous slope to go down where you're going to start saying who took them because you think they took them and who didn't because they didn't. When the bottom line is, unless there's a positive test, nobody knows 100% for sure who took and who didn't take. So I think it's a dangerous territory to say, oh, he's big. He hits home runs. He definitely took them. He's big. He doesn't hit home runs. He definitely didn't take them. He is someone that's a favorite, a fan favorite. He couldn't possibly have. He was a villain. He probably took him. I think that's a dangerous place to go. And I think they've gone there with a lot of players. So we can't play God. We can't decide who took them and who didn't. If you have a positive test, okay, there's some evidence. And now I can understand for certain voters that has a problem. You have a problem with that? Okay. But you can't just start guessing and assuming because you don't know. Nobody knows. That was one of the quietest times as a player in the clubhouse. That wasn't something that was spoken about. You know, there were guys that got popped for it during my career that I looked at them. You would never know in a million years by their physique. And I remember a couple guys going, him. Well, then a guy would get popped that looked the part and you'd say, okay, him. But I think it's dangerous when you start deciding who did and who didn't personally. Like, oh, I think he did and I think he didn't. So I'm not going to vote for him. I'm going to vote for him. I think that's dangerous. And I think unless there's clear cut tests, I think you got to put it all in one box and just say, I've got to judge these people equally and say they either all took it or none of them took it. And that's an equal playing field. If a pitcher's taking it, it's a hitter's taking it. What is it? Is it a level playing field? I don't know. I think we're kind of beyond the talk, but it's still there. It's that part of baseball history that's always going to be talked about. But I think it's a slippery slope to start deciding as an individual who did and who didn't, your opinion. I think that's where a lot of people get a lot of things wrong that are really not educated enough to make those decisions. It's not home runs and looks all the time. That's all I'm saying.
Okay.
So I don't know why this Movon thing came up. I mean,
he did an article with Rosenthal.
Okay. Oh, okay.
An article with Rosenthal and Mo's been estranged from the game for a while. Now he's coming back around the game. His son's playing and he did an interview and he admitted to Ken Rosenthal. Yeah. I used HGH and I was part of the Mitchell Report and the Mitchell Report was correct. I don't think people are tired of talking about it. I think we haven't come up with the definitive answer of how are we going to record the history of the game of baseball during the steroid era. Now, let me have full transparency for the folks that are listening to the Boone podcast. And Brett, you've heard me say this before.
Right.
I worked in San Francisco and I worked in Oakland. I was in San Francisco in 97. Before that, I covered the Angels and the Dodgers, but 97 did the Giants postgame show. 98, 99, 2000 was in the Oakland A's clubhouse. Mm-hmm. I knew what Balco was before I got to Oakland. I didn't know anything that was going on in Oakland, but I knew what Balco was. Somebody had told me about it. But I was a rookie sports talk show host, and I wasn't an investigative reporter. And quite honestly, nobody cared back then. I used to laugh saying, oh, look at that guy. He must be on the pony. He's using Flintstone injectable vitamins. And we'd laugh when you see guys come up back during the offseason, and they're just completely ripped, shredded, and yoked. Nobody cared about it. It wasn't that big of a deal until George Bush got up during the State of the Union and made a point of it. And then all of a sudden, boom, it becomes a big deal. So for me, I have a hard time condemning athletes that used performance-enhancing drugs, PEDs, because I feel like a hypocrite because I didn't say anything then. But for me to say it now, because I'm standing 10 years later, and all the riders that were there, they knew what was going on. I knew what was going on. But none of us said anything. So I think it's hypocritical for me to come out and condemn people when I knew it at the time but didn't say anything. But now I want to run for cover 10 years later, 20 years later, 30 years later. So with that being said, let me ask you this question, though. Okay. So you're saying the players deserve due process, that unless they've tested negative, unless they failed a drug test, we can't say this person definitively used or that person definitively used, like a Barry who was never tested positive, right?
Right.
Okay. But we didn't test back then.
You started testing in 03.
In 03. So the guys that were using way back, we never tested back then.
So, right. So basically what I'm saying is, as a voter, mm-hmm. you can't just have a bias and say, I don't think there should ever be a bias when it comes to the Hall of Fame. I don't care if you were a villain or a bad guy or had a bad reputation with the press. That's like a player that I didn't care for or really didn't like. That was an opponent of mine. When I get a survey at the end of the year, Player's Choice Award, that's not going to affect who I put down on that piece of paper, whether I like you as a person, whether right. I don't like you as a person.
Because that's peer to peer.
That's peer to peer. You're going to get my vote if you deserve it, because I wouldn't be able to walk away and think I didn't vote for him because I have a personal disdain for him. That's why I don't laugh, but I think it's sad when people say, why isn't he in yet? Oh, he was a jerk. The press didn't like him. Well, I think that's, you've got to get beyond that, and you've got to have integrity, and it can't be a personal thing. Is what did this man do on the field of play? Did he dominate his position for a long enough time to be a Hall of Famer? And when you start getting into, he's the press favorite. He's the class favorite, teacher's pet. Oh,
but don't we, he
would never have done anything. We know that. Well, how do you know? There was no testing.
Don't we cover sports like that anyway? That hold on a second. If you're Brett Boone,
right,
and you're fair to me, I'm going to be fair to you. If you're Brett Boone and you're a jerk, and I will remind everybody, the first time I ever spoke in person to Brett Boone, he blew me off for a week, and he was the only member of the Mariners who would not grant me an interview. So I didn't like Brett Boone back then. I did like your dad. That's why we're friends now. But I like Aaron. You're okay.
Yeah, but you ask my press that followed me. I had a very good
relationship. Well, let's say you're a jerk. Okay.
Okay.
And if everything's equal and you're a jerk, I'm not going to give you the benefit of the doubt because I just don't like you. But I can't just say I don't like you and you're great and I'm going to trash you anyway because I wouldn't have a job because I wouldn't have any credibility.
Well, I think you need to. The personal relationship doesn't matter.
But they're human. If you've got a, they're human beings.
It's all right. So I just gave you a scenario for me as a player.
But you're a peer. That's peer to peer, not someone who's supposed to be watching out for the integrity of the game, which is what the media is supposed to be doing. Fourth Estate. Our job is different than yours.
I see what you're saying. I don't agree with it. I don't agree.
But you understand where I'm coming from.
You either dominate the position or you don't. And there's and when you start playing God and deciding who
the criteria who did and though
who didn't.
Your criteria is different than my criteria. Your criteria is peer to peer. Mine is supposed to be looking out.
I'll give you an example, Rich, and I hear this all the time. Just say a writer says an article's written. If you did it like, and let's just call it Player X,
mm-hmm.
he did it the right way. That makes my skin crawl.
Why?
You've got no clue if he did it the right way or the wrong way. You just want him to have done it the right way. So that's how you write your column.
So
if I write the right way.
Wait a second. Hold on. If I write Brett Boone did it the right way and I followed you,
You're a huge fan of mine and you love me. That's being biased because you don't want me to have done it the wrong way. You see what I'm saying?
See, you're looking at this negative. I'm going to look at this. Like I've talked about guys, you know, guys I've talked about that I've covered and I've admired as a person and as a player. So if I were in Seattle and I was working at KJR and I go, Brett Boone does things the right way. Is that a compliment or is that a backhanded slap at everybody else? I would think I'd be lauding Brett because you know what? Here's a guy that I see work hard, plays hurt, is a great teammate and someone that I would say, hey, kids, you can look up to him.
Oh, that would just be a fact, Rich.
Well, yeah, but then I'd have every kid walking around with hair spiked up in the front.
No, I'm kidding. I can see you. I can see that, and I would take that as a compliment, and I would appreciate that. I wouldn't expect it, but if someone said that, hey, you know, I prided myself in playing the game right, in busting my butt, being available, playing when I could play, playing hurt,
right,
being a great teammate, and if once in a while you get some positive press for that. Well, then absolutely. I take that as a compliment and appreciate that. I don't expect it. because there's plenty of articles, you know, maybe a writer in another city that I didn't have a great rapport with. I tried to have a great rapport with everybody. I tried to have fun with the media. I knew it was going to be there every day. We were going to have to live with each other. I tried to have fun with guys. I tried to make them a part of the group. I didn't treat them as player and press as less than or more than. And sometimes that was a good thing. And sometimes that would come back to bite me like, well, I let him in so deep. Now he's taking advantage of that relationship. I think it's, there's so many different variables. I just don't like the fact that people come out and start pointing fingers at players they like, and they won't point a finger, but a player that maybe they didn't like that's in the same exact circumstance, they'll point the finger at that guy. One guy stole bases, one guy hit home runs. Oh, he must have. When really you have no clue. You have no clue.
You've heard me on the
majority of the cases.
Right. You've heard me on the radio for a while. We've been doing this podcast for 5 years. You've heard me talk about Barry Bonds. I personally don't like Barry, but does that cloud my judgment on how great of a player he is? Have you ever heard me mischaracterize, mistreat, or be petty when it comes to Barry?
No, and there's nothing wrong with liking a player. I had not a lot of guys, because actually most of the guys I played with and against, the longer I played, most guys were pretty good guys.
Right.
And I got along with 90% of the guys I came in contact with throughout my career. When I was a rookie, I hated everybody. But by the time it was all said and done, and I was in the twilight of my career, I kind of got along with everybody. So I didn't really have any bad feelings towards anybody. But there are definitely handfuls of guys that I don't care for one iota, and it doesn't matter to me if I never see them again. That's right. Not going to hurt my feelings. That being said, when it came down to credentials and giving them their just due on the field of play, what kind of a ball player they were, not kind of what kind of person they were, I'm always going to be honest and forthright about
it. You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking or music or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery, though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby, Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
I'm Claire Fallon.
And I'm Emma Gray.
We are friends and reality dating show fans, and the only thing we love as much as love stories is lovingly snarking on them.
Whether you love love or love to hate it, listen to Love to See It, our podcast dissecting all the romance we see on screen.
From reality dating shows like The Bachelor and Love is Blind to classic rom-coms like You've Got Mail, we recap in obsessive detail and unpack all the weird messages they send us about love, sex, and dating.
Listen to Love to See It on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'll ask you to play devil's advocate. Are you being naive? Are you being naive when you go, unless you had a negative drug test, or unless you pop positive,
right?
I don't think anybody used. Because that somebody said
no. I'm not saying that at all.
Okay.
I'm not saying that at all. I think there are plenty of people that did that. You could never tell because they didn't train that way. They didn't take whatever they took. And then
different PEDs do different things.
And then go to the weight room. Some guys were in the weight room, and Jose Canseco, who's the most famous of all time, who wrote the book, who actually put me in the book.
Put falsely, you in the book.
But put me in the book. He trained like a bodybuilder. Bodybuilders look like bodybuilders for a reason.
Well, there's guys that use different things, like HGH. If you're using it to get over an injury, that's going to build up your muscles different than an anabolic steroid like a bodybuilder would use.
Right. So same guys take, let's say if somebody takes something and another guy takes the same thing, one guy trains like a bodybuilder and one guy just rides the bike 3 days a week.
Right.
They're not going to look the same. A Tour de France, they're going to look different.
Olympic swimmers.
Than a football player on how they train.
Olympic swimmers, long, sinewy muscles. Bodybuilders, big, thick muscles.
Yeah. So
all different. Okay. So
anyway, whatever.
But let's go back to this. How are we supposed to talk about, remember, and judge the era of baseball that you played in? I don't want to call it the steroid era because you got caught up in Jose's book. And for folks that don't remember, Jose wrote his book, said, oh, I was talking to Brett Boone at second base about how to use steroids. And then I don't know how it popped up, but they looked up the records and Booney, you and Canseco were never on the field together at the same time. You never got to second base that year of spring training. You guys never played against each other. And it really discredited Jose's book.
Well, I got a call from who's the gentleman that did that, broke the story. Big name guy.
What was he working?
He since got fired. It was like the Today Show. Anyway, I got a
phone call. Matt Lauer.
Matt Lauer. I got a call from Matt Lauer. He said he's doing a story on it. What's your take on it? I said, I've never had a conversation with Jose Canseco, maybe at the most throughout my career. And I didn't play against Jose all that much.
Because he was with the A's and you were with the Reds.
Right. Typical. And to this day, I've never had a conversation with Jose
Canseco. I want him on the program.
Outside of if Jose were to hit a double, way to swing at Jose, or maybe a head nod. What's up, Booney? What's up, Jose? Which was, I had that relationship with a ton of guys I played against. We didn't have conversations, all of us, with every guy that got to second base, but there were usually pleasantries just exchanged. If somebody hit a ringing double, hey, way to swing.
Stop.
But that doesn't mean we're going to dinner tonight. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
The most I've ever talked to Jose was probably a four-word conversation, maybe eight combined between the two of us. So he kind of made this up. I had no idea where it came from. Matt Lauer figures it out, and then they had a whole story on it. And we never played together because I didn't remember anything he was talking about. We were never on the field the spring training where he claims it happened.
But you played that same era, and that whole era has this fog over the top of it.
I don't know if it's necessarily a fog. Who puts the fog there? It's like
I think without having Barry in the Hall of Fame, having Roger in the Hall of Fame, there is a fog. And everybody who played in that era, Brett, you listen, we've never talked about this. I hope I don't throw you under the bus over here. But if you Google Brett, your name's gonna pop up with it.
Absolutely.
And people might believe it just because the era that you played in.
Absolutely. And that's
so your entire era has us over the top of its head.
Yeah, no, I see what you're saying now. Yeah, I can see that. Here's the problem. And this is why I get to a point where you've got to be, before there was testing, you have to put everybody in the same category and just say,
before there's testing, nobody cared.
It's the best against the best. And the criteria has to be that. Were you the best? Did you dominate your position for X amount of years, which gives you the criteria to get into the Hall of Fame? Because you can't sit there and start determining, I think he did. I don't think he did. It's not right.
So do we open it up for everybody that's there and we all judge everybody the same? Or same. Do we? Okay, so you say
or everybody didn't. Now, I understand the positive tests in the 2000s. If writers have that angle of, hey, if you tested positive, you're not on my list. Okay.
Is that fair, though?
I don't think it's fair, but I think there's a little bit of credibility to that argument.
Is that fair? Because if I know now, I knew back then. If I knew now, I knew back then. If you're in the clubhouse every day, you can tell. You look at people. You see how their bodies change. You see their moods. it's pretty obvious of the people that I was around.
I think you're getting a little gray with their, you see their moods.
Oh, if you see someone that roid rages, for lack of a better term.
I was around tons of players. I have no idea. And I'll be honest with you, I wasn't even aware of anything like that until the early 2000s. I had heard it. I never heard of a roid rage. I never saw a guy go, he's having a roid rage.
No. Okay. So there's difference between anabolic steroids and PEDs. Like the anabolic steroids that bulk you up. There's things
talk that about. PED is a PED, performance enhancing drug.
No,
HGH is not a steroid. HGH.
Right. That's why I want to make sure I'm being clear here. There's PEDs.
PEDs are everything. HGH is under the PED.
Right. And then there's the old school anabolic steroids.
It's steroids, HGH. They're both PEDs. And I'll tell you what, they're trying to. Well, I guess Major League Baseball deems the greenies PEDs as well.
Correct. So let me make sure that I'm saying this correctly.
But there's a lesser penalty for a greenie than there is a steroid.
Right. So the guys that were using the old Soviet style anabolic steroids, there were things that you could see. Your head would, you'd get that bump in the front of your head.
Oh,
you could see different things. No, because I would see it in football as well, Brett.
Yeah, but I didn't. I'm not seeing the same thing.
But at that point, you weren't seeing guys just using, you know, the East German anabolic steroids. It was more sophisticated by the time that baseball decided that, hey, we got to do something about this.
Yeah, I guess. I don't know.
I mean, it all changed. And Balco was, hey, let me see, and we'll match up something that gives you something different.
Well, I'll tell you, and they changed the testing. Now, Major League Baseball has almost an Olympic style testing.
Correct.
When they were testing me, because I probably had 12 or 15 times I got tested, but it was a urine test.
Right.
Now they're drawing blood because a urine test could not detect HGH. The only thing that can detect HGH is a blood test.
It's a blood test.
Which is Olympic style. And they've, in recent years, added that onto the protocol for the Major League. Major League Baseball, I think, by far has the most stringent testing of any of the sports closest to the Olympic style, which was kind of the North Star of
the
of
U.S. testing. Anti-doping agency has been heavily involved with that.
And I think baseball, the reason that's the case is because baseball was last to the party. Football, the other sports already had and I'm not saying a stringent testing program, but they had one in place. All of a sudden, baseball didn't have one. So they brought the noise and said, oh, since you didn't, the rest of these sports are like, oh, they've been testing for years and years. No matter how lax their testing program was, they still had a test in place, whereas baseball didn't. And I understand historically, with baseball being what it is, America's pastime, people through the year, they hold records in baseball near and dear to their heart, I think, and that maybe that's me just being biased.
No, you're 100%.
Then people in other sports hold their records.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking or music or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby, Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
I'm Claire Fallon.
And I'm Emma Gray.
We are friends and reality dating show fans, and the only thing we love as much as love stories is lovingly snarking on them.
Whether you love Love or love to hate it, listen to Love to See It, our podcast dissecting all the romance we see on screen.
From reality dating shows like The Bachelor and Love is Blind to classic rom-coms like You've Got Mail, we recap in obsessive detail and unpack all the weird messages they send us about love, sex, and dating.
Listen to Love to See It on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.